Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
What's going on?
Sometimes I wonder. I think that's the whole purpose. If we all knew what was going on, we wouldn't need radio programs like this, would we?
Really?
I don't think so. If everyone knew what was going on, including you and me, programs wouldn't be necessary. It's precisely because we don't exactly know what's going on, but we have some suspicions.
Well, there's a lot of crazy things going on. I just, when I read things, it's just, I just become amazed at all the weird and bizarre things that are going on in this world. It's just, and then when you get into the finances and you see conditions in certainly the condition of the countries, that becomes a little more frightening. But oh boy, just a bizarre world that we live in. I mean, we can touch some of those later on, but first let's talk about the bizarre world of gold today. You have gold down $13 at $1,261. You have silver up $7. At $1,736, platinum was also up $7 at $1,237. Palladium's just sort of hanging out at $790. USDX today down. It was down over a full point, but right now it's just shy, 0.99 at $93.59. Crude oil today, after a seven-month drop of more than 50%, you certainly see some rise in the oil prices. Rose for the fourth straight day and jumping, it was over 339 or 7% to actually $52.96 a barrel in New York. So the rig count's down. And you hear all kinds of discussions whether this is just some sort of a technical bounce or, you know, we're going to be heading back up. Now, all of a sudden, now the Saudis are saying, oh, yeah, you could see $200 in oil. Kind of like the world in which we live. They give you the extremes of each, and which means just shows how volatile the world is, because no one really knows what to expect when you have all these markets that are so rigged over a long period of time and adjusted through speculation and trading and so forth. Nobody knows what to expect. But you had the Dow jump And they gave me a brand new page. I don't know why they did that. The Dow jumped 275 points. Actually, more than that, 303 points based on oil. And for some reason, they took away my, where I always get my numbers. They thought it was more important to talk about the Dow jumping 300 points in oil and just took away all my numbers. So you also had, hey, when they do this, why can't they leave things alone, Al? Just like Yahoo, they constantly have to change things. Leave it alone.
Some people justify their jobs.
Oh,
some people justify their jobs, Melody. They've got to tinker with things to prove that they're necessary and important. If they didn't make changes, they wouldn't have a job.
It's just, well, give me a notice. Hey, we're going to change the look of our screens here in the next month, so be ready. Instead of you go there and all of a sudden, oh, it just drives me insane. The Dow was up 305 points at 17,666. 17,666. NASDAQ up 51 at 4727. The S&P up 29 at 2050. The 10-year yield, that was up pretty big, 1.78, up 0.11. And again, oil was up big today, back up over 50 bucks, 52, climbing over 53. So euro is climbing big today, 1.32 to the upside, back at 1.15. So naturally, we'd see the euro gain a little bit of strength when we saw a little bit of weakness in the U.S. dollar. But Greece's finance minister said that the new radical left government was willing to accept alternative strategies for making his country's debt load more bearable. And this was a report out of the Financial Times. They reported that the Greek finance minister had backed off the idea of a flat debt write-off in a meeting held yesterday in London. Instead, he suggested replacing old debt with new bonds that would be repaid only if Greece's economy grows. He also suggested using interest-only bonds. So, you know, I guess another reason why the markets were, you know.
And who will they sell these bonds to?
Well, what are they going to have to pay?
I don't know. Do you get a free? Do you get a free?
Free trip to the Mediterranean.
Prescription? No, I'm thinking a prescription for Prozac. Mm. If you're going to buy Greek bonds, it may be that you'll need some Prozac in the near future, and maybe get a free supply.
Well, the European markets loved it. France's market was up over 1%. The FTSE was up over 1%. The DAX has been up a tear. That was only at 0.6%. On the news, you had most of the stock markets in Asia. They closed all higher, too. So the world is just happy, Al.
No, the world is strange, and it's no one really knows what's going on, and that's part of the problem. Again, nobody's really in control. I don't know if anyone has ever been in control, but clearly no one is in control right now. People aren't. They're reacting. It's, things happen and they just react, and you squeeze the economic balloon at one point, it bulges someplace else, and somebody else tries to squeeze it at that bulge and it goes down, but it bulges in a second or third place, and everybody's just, it's evidence of a kind of desperation where people are doing anything that they think might work in order to hold this thing together a while longer. But it does not. Can you imagine that we are coming on a moment when things are going to calm down and become stable? Do you see that, Melody?
When things become stable?
Yeah, calm down and become stable. And all of a sudden people say, oh, I know what the market's going to do. It's predictable. We have a predictable trend. I know what the price of gold is going to do. We have a predictable trend. The world is sensible. It makes, you know, it's reasonable, rational, we understand it. Do you see that moment in the near future?
No, I don't.
I don't see how anyone can imagine.
The markets have been too rigged. The markets have been, there is no more free market. And I mean, that is a question that was, or a comment that was sent in by email from a listener. And let me see if I can pull that up here and what he says. And it's because of this that we'll, until we have that event, and then events usually create more unrest. He says, I listen to your broadcast every day. He says, one thing I'd like you to touch on is speculation. He says, it is primarily the fault of speculators that oil reached over $100 a barrel. And now it seems they're trying to artificially inflate the price of oil yet again. It would be nice if you called them on this. Speculators did the same thing with housing prices and helped bring on the 2008 crash. This sort of speculation should be stopped. It is as harmful to the little guy as anything government or the Fed could come up with, although the nefarious activities are protected by the government. He would also opine on how it appears that the free market is dying out of its own internal contradictions. Crony capitalism and too big to fail, after all, may be signs of capitalism's decadence. He says, if business needs government to survive, eventually government will decide that the fig leaf or independent business may no longer be necessary. He says, as a Christian, he could also point out that it was godlessness, not economics, that brought down the Soviet Union. God has stacked the deck from that unhappy nation's inception. He says, just some food for thought from a faithful listener, and we thank you for sending us your comments.
Well, one thing I'd like to see in the markets, even if, you know, at the moment, I would even accept the idea that the markets can be manipulated if they would be manipulated in a way that seemed rational to the rest of the world. I'm not in favor of manipulation. I don't want a manipulated market. I want a free market. But I could even put up with a manipulated market if it seemed rational. I don't even know what these people are trying to accomplish right now. I don't doubt that the market's being moved artificially, but what is the purpose? What can we count on? It's like the price of crude oil. You know, is it going up? Is it going down? What is driving this stuff? If we had any reasonable idea of what's what forces are at work right now, it would make things a lot easier. Whoever wrote that email talked about capitalism is becoming decadent, right? And it's failing. And I disagree with that. I mean, a lot of people are making a complaint against capitalism, and they're blaming capitalism for whatever failures we may see, may have seen in the markets, and may see in the future. So this is evidence of the failure of capitalism. We haven't had capitalism in this country since 1971, when they went off the gold standard, completely off the gold standard, even on internationally held dollars. I believe capitalism requires capital, and I don't regard paper promises to pay as capital. I think if you're going to do capitalism, you need gold and silver. You need real capitalism. You need real capital if you're going to do capitalism. And to say, oh, the capitalist system has failed, we haven't had a capitalist system here for 40 years or more. We've had a fiat currency system. And I'm not at all convinced that is anything like capitalism. I don't believe it's true. So in any case, I'd like to see stable markets, rational markets, something that moved on the basis of fundamentals that we were able to understand, not on whether or not Janet Yellen said the word patience or ibbity-bobbity-boo or abracadabra. The markets become magical, controlled by sorcerers battling in the netherworld someplace. You know, and all of it has become so disassociated from ordinary people that it's hard to even, it's hard to know what to think of it. It's hard to know if you even should think of it. Maybe it's just off in a world where I'm going to content myself. I'm going to live my own little world down here. I'm going to try to control things in my own environment. I'm going to stack up gold and silver coins. And whatever they do in the markets, I don't care. Go ahead, do whatever you want up there. It's all crazy. If you want to go in the crazy place, go to the crazy place. It's okay with me. Maybe I'll just stop worrying about it.
Well, it almost seems like capitalism is something that needs to continue to grow. And you have to keep feeding it. And the thing is,
for one thing,
pardon?
It needs to be defined where people understand.
Well, I think
what do we mean when we say, when I say the word capitalism, you say it, somebody else says it. Do we have a common definition anywhere here? I'm defining it as a system of economics that relies on capital, and I'm defining capital. I'm thinking of capital in terms of something tangible.
Well, I'm talking about the, you know, like it's a, you know, your markets. I mean, it's a means of trade and industry, owned, operated, free markets, profits. And I think when you define it in that way, it's just something that has to continue to grow. And I think eventually you would think it goes global, which we have. Globalism was accepted, and it has grown. It's crossed borders. But it comes a time, just like anything else, it's almost like it has become too big. And if you can't feed it anymore, it's going to collapse.
Well, when we talk about capitalism in the market.
And you're right. And then it's not funded by what you talk about. It also distorts and corrupts that system.
Well, we talk about, you just mentioned the idea of capital in the markets. And from my perspective, I would say it's precisely because we don't have real capital in the markets that make the markets manipulable. There is such a word. All right? It's because they can sell paper gold on COMEX that they can manipulate the price of gold. And they say, well, this paper gold, and we're paying it for it with paper dollars or digital dollars or whatever. See, this is capital. I don't think it is. I think if the markets only responded to people who bought and paid for stock with a real money like gold and silver, I'd sit back and say, well, all right, now we have a free market. But when we take the gold and silver out and we allow some groups of people that are closely, the Federal Reserve or major financial institutions closely associated with the Federal Reserve, they get to spend all kinds of paper, which is nothing but promises. Promises to pay, that's all the paper is. They're not paying for the stock. The stocks are being moved up, down, or sideways based on promises rather than payments. I don't see capitalism as being a function of promises. I know you can't make that. That's not a true statement in the sense that, yeah, there's some promises in capitalism. I get that. But the bottom line in capitalism has to be payments. And that means it has to be gold and silver, not just pieces of paper, not just digital dollars and fiat currencies. So do we have capital in the markets? I don't see any capital in there. Who's paying for anything in gold right now? You know, and this becomes, you know, it's confusing. Is my statement correct that capitalism is only a function of gold or silver? Well, it seems correct to me, but it might not be. But part of the problem we've got, we can't even agree on what the fundamentals are. Does capitalism mean only gold and silver for money, or does it include the rest of it? The whole thing has become so confusing. You can sit back and say, what's going on here?
And you're right.
And who's going to answer the question?
They have taken that term, and you have various different perspectives on this and different analysis of capitalism. And then when you bring in modernization, you bring in computers and how things are traded, and you're right, that replaced gold and silver, the true capital. I mean, it's just like, it's just a confusion.
Yeah,
so how can anything work? Sounds great. Sounds like it should work.
I don't even know that it sounds great. You know,
well,
in the
conception, I think in the conception of it,
yeah,
when it was small and when it was manageable and when it did what it was supposed to do, but through growth, through globalization, through different world ideas and different tribes, different communities, different thoughts, you can't combine it all together. I think if you have capitalism in various places around, it has to be defined in those areas. And you're right. And again, when you have a fiat currency, it just kind of, distorts it even more.
I think it defeats
more.
The idea of capitalism.
Sort of defeats it. But
I don't see fiat currency as capital. But we can talk more about that. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements, and we'll figure it out in the next segment. We'll know for sure. Then we'll know for sure. Is fiat currency capital, or is it not? Maybe we'll figure it out. Stay tuned. Melody and I will be back in a moment on Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs.
I'm going to bring some capitalism to the show, to the program today. Men's State 61, $20 Liberty gold pieces, real money. People used to use these. Can you imagine taking a $20 gold piece and taking it to the store to buy your groceries, your clothing, your horse, your carriage? So it's kind of neat when you think about it. Men's State 61, $20 Liberty gold pieces. And hopefully we'll be doing that again soon in our future. But for now, you can buy them as a great investment at very low prices. And we, again, they're just priced the lowest spread between gold eagles and the $20 gold pieces that I've ever seen in all my years. And we're looking at $1,400 for Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces certified by NGC or PCGS. You can purchase a American Gold Eagle today for a little over $1,300. And today you could buy a Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold piece for $1,400. The spread is $70. And it's not that the coins, I've actually lowered my prices to give you this great deal. Price does include shipping, so you can just give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Okay, what about capitalism, Melody?
What about it?
Are we going to save it or get rid of it, or what shall we do with capitalism?
Let's throw it out.
No, we can't do that.
Can't do
that. I think it may even be coming back. And part of the reason I say that is just because China has been scrambling to get more gold, more gold, more gold, more gold. I think they are at least doing that in anticipation of a time when we are going to, when the manipulated markets, the paper markets, they are going to degrade and perhaps disappear, and those who have the gold will make the rules, right? Golden rule and the rest of that. It's been true for several thousand years. It's going to probably be true again. We've had a moment, you know, in terms of world history, we've had a moment, another moment, we go through these things periodically, of fiat currency. And it all sounds like such a good idea from the really smart people who start this, say, well, we can do this and we can manipulate the economy and we can keep things, we can alter the business cycle. You know, people blame Keynesian economics for a lot of our trouble. And the truth is, we haven't tried Keynesian economics. Right? What Keynes said is his object was to smooth out the business cycle, where we go through our periodic booms and then we fall down into a bust and then we go into a boom and then we fall down into a bust. And he said, look, we need to moderate this thing where we're not having busts is what we want to avoid. But we're also going to have, in order to avoid that, we're not going to have the big booms. And the idea behind Keynesian economics was pretty simple. When you have something like an economic boom going on, that's the time you raise taxes and you slow the boom down and you acquire those tax dollars and you store them in the vault in anticipation of the next bust. And when we go into an economic bust, you spend all of the money that you saved from the last boom, and you bring us back out of the bust, and we have the booms aren't so high and the busts aren't so low. Well, it's not such a bad idea, and it may even, and it's even viable, really, if you would actually raise taxes during the booms and save the money. And the government doesn't do that. So we'll raise taxes, all right, but we're not going to save it. We're going to spend it as fast as it comes in the door. And it's not saved for the next inevitable bust. They just spend it in order to grow the government, make government more powerful and larger. And the point is that Keynesian economics takes a lot of – it's accused of being responsible for much of our trouble, but the truth is – government has never had the discipline to apply Keynesian economics. And I'm not advocating Keynesian economics. That's not my point. My point is it takes the blame, but it's never really been implemented because they don't intend to pull the punch bowl away during the booms, and they certainly don't intend to save any money that they can spend to offset the next bust. This whole thing is debt-based, which is another point. Capitalism. Capitalism requires capital. Capital cannot be a debt. Right? To me, it's just a certain amount of common sense. We have a debt-based monetary system. All of our dollars are measures of debt. How can we have capitalism if all of our dollars are debt-based monetary instruments? We have something other than capitalism, and that's why we're having the trouble right now. So we'll watch and see. Here's an article on China.
Capitalism, I was always that it was basically tied to a free market. Mm-hmm. And you're right. When we go off the standard, the gold standard, and you introduce the fiat currencies, this is where you no longer truly have that free market.
That's right.
So I don't think it's, you know, it's not. Capitalism isn't fiat currency, it's a system but it is based on free markets, and those free markets become manipulated once you go off
the gold standard.
So why? What do you mean why?
Why?
Because
why
there are no more. There's no more accountability because you have corruption. I mean, fiat currency allows you the corruption and allows you to manipulate.
It allows you to write blank, non-sufficient checks.
Yes.
Gold and
silver. Like I said, there's no accountability.
Well, that's what we're coming down to. If the markets are, if you can only buy stock with gold or silver coin, don't bother coming to the checkbook. Well, this is the point.
I get
when we go to fiat, it makes manipulation possible for whoever's able to print the money. They can just print it, spend it how they want. Got an article here on China. In the final two weeks of January, China ratcheted up her imports of gold to 70 tons and 71 tons. They're bringing in 10 tons a day. Understand? If they sustained that rate, they'd import 40% more gold this year than the world produces. This tells us that China's most recent rate of imports can't be sustained. They can't continue to do 10 tons a day. All right, import 10 tons a day for, they may do it for another week or two or three or 10. I don't know. They can't do it for the whole year. But in any case, if they did sustain this rate, in theory, they'd import 40% more gold than the world produces. This tells us that China's most recent rate of imports can't be sustained and leaves us wondering why are they ramping up imports just now? Have they decided to dump some of their dollars? Do they expect the price of gold is about to rise significantly, so they're buying all the cheap gold they can acquire right at this moment? They see a big bump in the price of gold. At the buying rate seen in the last half of January, China's purchases of gold might be described as almost desperate. Maybe they're trying to get all the gold they can lay their hands on because they know the time is fast approaching when they won't be able to buy much gold. Possible. We don't know that's true, but it's possible. Does China know something is about to happen that will cause gold to become increasingly scarce and valuable? To put China's January purchases in perspective, in just 2 weeks, China imported 6 times more gold than the COMEX even claims to have as deliverable income or inventory. If China's appetite for gold remains as insatiable, as indicated by purchasing 70 tons a week, 10 tons a day for the last 2 weeks of January, we can suppose that the world markets may soon be almost devoid of gold. You can't buy gold at that rate, at 40% more than the rate of production, and expect the market to continue to have a supply, at least not at these prices. Prices went up dramatically. Yeah, there's a supply then. People will be more willing to sell their gold that they've stored away. But this China's current buying rate can't be sustained, of course. If China is desperate to get the last ounce of gold it possibly can because it thinks something big is about to happen, then it's possible that China may decide to raid COMEX in order to acquire whatever gold remains in the COMEX vaults. In theory, at the most recent buying rates, China could wipe out COMEX, destroy it, by simply demanding to take delivery of COMEX physical gold for 3 days. China's buying 10 tons a day. COMEX has only got about 30 tons that might be available. In theory, all right, it's not that simple, but in theory, China could wipe out COMEX by taking delivery on 3 days' worth of gold. This suggests that the COMEX gold market may soon be reduced to irrelevance, as they may have no product available for delivery. Again, if China's appetite for gold is that enormous at this moment, and if it persists, it seems inevitable that they're going to clean out the COMEX vault. One way or another, I guarantee they're thinking about it, and it seems almost inevitable that they will do so. A two-tier market might result. wherein we see large down days on the comics paper gold market. At the same time, we see huge up days in physical metal as traders begin to understand the true dichotomy between paper gold, and that's what's traded on the COMEX market primarily, and physical gold. I'm told that the ratio may be 90 to 100 ounces of paper gold to every 1 ounce of physical gold that moves on COMEX. Right? What it is mostly is a paper market. What is the dichotomy between the gold, the paper gold, and physical gold? It's this. Paper gold is nothing but a promise to pay. Right? Yes, it's a promise to pay in gold, but it's still just a promise to pay. Paper, paper gold, paper dollars, paper stock, paper bonds, they are all promises to pay. None of them are actual payments. Do you want to work for promises? Or do you want to work for payments? If you want to work for payments, physical gold is an actual payment. Not a promise to pay, a payment. We have spent our lives, most of us, working for green pieces of paper that are nothing but promises to pay. We've invested in stocks and bonds and 401ks and pension funds, and all of them are nothing but paper promises to pay. And we're coming to a point where the promises can't be kept. And if you're smart, you're going to want to take payments rather than promises to pay. Do you want to invest in promises to pay? Do you want to invest in paper debt instruments? Or do you want to invest in payments like gold, silver, tools, land, something tangible? Once you begin to view your investments in terms of promises to pay versus payments, your investment choices, in my opinion, are going to be significantly simplified. Won't necessarily make things easier, but you're going to be able to look. Do I want a paper? Do I want an I? Here, I borrow $1,000 from you. Time comes for me to repay the debt. Which would you rather have? $1,000 or another one of my IOUs? And I promise to pay you the $1,000 a month from now, a year from now, whatever. Do you want the payment? Do you want the promise to pay? That's not necessarily a good example because I'm using dollars as a payment in this example to illustrate the difference between my IOU and a dollar. Dollar and $1,000 would be better than my IOU, but the $1,000 is still paper. We work for these promises to pay. We've built our lives on these promises to pay. We've risked our retirement based on these promises to pay. And if you look around, the promises can't all be kept. We're going broke. And that means a lot of us who depend on those promises are going to be wiped out. In any case, if China thinks something big is about to happen, what might it be? You know, there's a sovereign, maybe it's a sovereign debt reset where the governments of the world simply cancel some or all of their existing national debt. For the past 8 months, the dollar's purchasing power rose almost 20% as measured on the U.S. dollar index. That's evidence of deflation. Deflation is supposed to be anathema for debtors because it forces them to repay their debt in more valuable dollars and thus drives debtors toward bankruptcies and bankruptcy and economies toward depression. The U.S. government's debtor government is the world's biggest debtor. As such, U.S. government has a powerful interest in causing inflation and preventing deflation. Nevertheless, the U.S. government has allowed deflation to manifest over the past 8 months. It's made no significant effort to stop that apparent deflation as measured on the U.S. dollar index. This is amazing to me. All right? The government, there's only one way it makes sense for government to allow deflation, which is bad for debtors, and the government is the biggest debtor in the world. There's only one way it makes sense, and that is if government knows there is a moment fast approaching when government is going to repudiate some or all of the national debt. It may be a moment where there's going to be a sovereign debt reset for the whole world. And they're going to wipe out all the government debt, and they're going to say, okay, we're going to start over again. If they do that, those of you holding the correlative debt instruments, paper debt instruments, you're going to lose your assets. Those of you that are holding gold and silver are going to do well. Maybe this explains China buying gold at the rate of 10 tons a day at the end of January. We're going to take a break for some more commercials. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. During the break, Melody mentioned the Jubilee, which is something you see in the Old Testament. You used to have a Jubilee every 50 years, my understanding. I've heard some people say the Jubilee is supposed to be every 7 years. My understanding is every 50. But regardless of what the time frame is, a Jubilee was a year when all previous debts were canceled. All right? Every 50 years, my understanding, they would cancel all previous debts. If you'd borrowed $100,000 from someone to buy, who knows, for down payment on a new Rolls Royce or something, you borrow that debt gets canceled. You don't have to repay the $100,000. Huh? And some people said, well, how could that work? Well, it could work, and it was even a good idea back in the Old Testament. Because it would prevent people, creditors, from becoming so wealthy that they could dominate the society. Every 50 years, essentially, we zeroed out whatever they'd loaned out to people. And they were instructed to keep on lending, even though they knew that the Jubilee was only a year, 2 years, or 3 years away. Keep on lending. That was part of the instruction in the Old Testament. And when the year came, fine, the debts canceled. It was a way of redistributing wealth that had been concentrated in the hands of creditors and move it back in part to the ordinary people and prevent an oligarchy. Jubilee would prevent an oligarchy. But we couldn't have a Jubilee today. And the reason is because we have a debt-based monetary system. All right? Let me explain. If we're in the Jubilee in the Old Testament, and I borrowed 10 ounces of gold from Melody. And the Jubilee rolls around and cancels the debt, and I don't have to pay the 10 ounces of gold to Melody. And Melody is out the 10 ounces, that's true. But the 10 ounces still exists. It's there in the economy. And although I may have it in a way that perhaps is unfair and unjust, the economy itself is not damaged by the disappearance of our money. You can have a Jubilee in a society that has an asset-based monetary system. Because even though the debt's canceled, the asset is still there. The 10 ounces of gold are still there in the economy. I got them. Maybe I spent them on somebody down the street. Maybe I gave them to my kids. I don't know. But the 10 ounces are still there. The economy is not diminished by canceling the debt. All they've done is income redistribution or wealth redistribution. But if you go to today, where our currency is a debt-based monetary instrument, if the government, for example, said, hooray, we're going to have a Jubilee, and we're going to wipe out all the debt, including the $18 trillion, the official designation for the national debt, $18 trillion, it's canceled. Well, the problem with that, you cancel that debt. You void all of the correlative paper debt instruments. If you've got $18 trillion in bonds out there, we don't have $18 trillion in gold. We have $18 trillion in bonds. And when someone says, that's it, we're having a Jubilee and we've canceled all the debt. Well, guess what? You've also rendered $18 trillion in bonds worthless. They can't effectively cancel the debt without collapsing the economy. We can't have a Jubilee in this country because we are saddled with a debt, and if we deny the debt, we wipe out our paper debt instruments. We wipe out $18 trillion in bonds. This country can't stand that kind of a paper loss. So you can't have a Jubilee with a paper debt, with a currency built on paper debt instruments. You could have it in an economy that's based on gold and silver. It's still there in the economy. It's been redistributed a little bit and shaken up a little bit, but it's still there. You cancel a debt in today's economy, you wipe out. The correlative bonds are disappeared, and all the people that are holding them are wiped out. You see what I'm saying, Melody?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's the reason we can't have a Jubilee today with our existing monetary system. And so we're caught with this debt. And, you know, when you look at it, there's even evidence, and some of you may have heard of this, of some people that have a mortgage, for example. They borrowed money from the bank. The banks, in some instances, have imposed a penalty. Not if you paid too slowly, but if you paid too fast. If you paid off your loan too fast, the banks would impose a penalty on people. And people say, what's this? This is crazy talk. I'm just trying to get out from under this mortgage as fast as I can. The bank is imposing a penalty. Yeah, because when you get out from under the mortgage, you are canceling the value of the correlative debt instrument. You are essentially, if you pay too fast, you're robbing the bank of the value of that debt instrument, which they expected to last for 30 years. And if you're paying it off in 15 or 20, guess what? The bank is saying, hey, we're losing money on this deal. So they impose a fine on it. They don't explain it, but it's part of the same idea that I'm trying to illustrate, that I'm trying to explain in terms of comparing paper debt instruments versus asset instruments. Asset instruments, you can have a Jubilee. Paper, you can't. You can't get rid of the debt without causing enormous havoc. You can't pay the debt, and that's where we are today. We're caught in a situation where the debt is too big to be repaid, and yet we can't repudiate it either without wiping out trillions of dollars in paper assets. You are darned if you do and darned if you don't. What are you going to do, folks? What are you going to do? Are you going to repudiate the debt? Or are you going to keep on trying to pay a debt that's already too big to ever be repaid? Which are you going to do? You know, it's a little like riding the tiger. You can't stay on forever, and if you dismount, the tiger is going to eat you. What are you going to do? Keep riding a tiger that you can't ride forever, or jump off and hope for the best? And that's kind of where this world is right now. That's where the economy is, or at least we're approaching that time. So what are we going to do, Melody? Are we going to cancel the debt, or are we going to keep trying to pay it even though it's too big to ever be repaid in full?
Well, I think everybody knows the answer to that. They're going to continue to try to do what they can do until they're ready to, until that outside event no longer allows them to do it.
Yeah, no. One way or another, we're
one way or another,
tiger.
It's coming off the tiger.
Yeah, no, one way.
And that's what I meant. I mean, yeah, if you default on the debt, that you're right. All those bond. I mean, everything just turns worthless.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And
you can't pay the debt, and you can't repudiate the debt. What do you do? You know, in real life, if I get more debt than I can handle, I can file for bankruptcy, and I can restart. But what this government has, it's put itself in a position where it can't file for bankruptcy and repudiate the debt. Because if it does, it wipes out $18 trillion worth of assets that are held by people in the United States and foreign countries and so on. I mean, we can't repudiate the debt, and we can't pay the debt. We can't file for bankruptcy, openly at least. That is the big conundrum. Uh-huh. We're caught. We're trapped. What are you going to do? And sooner or later, when you see this, unless there's a third option that I'm not able to understand or anticipate, one way or another, we're going to see a debacle when this debt is, they either have to admit we can't pay it, or they have to repudiate it, or they have to create extraordinary inflation as a way of repudiating the debt. But anyway, we'd be trapped. And as long as that's the case, got a problem headed our way, folks. And there is no graceful exit, no painless exit. Darned if you do, darned if you don't. Part of the reason why we tell you, look, get away from those paper debt instruments. Get away from the paper promises to pay. The promises can't be kept. They may be able to hold it together for another who knows how long. I don't know. You know, maybe 6 months, maybe 6 years. I don't know. We've said that all the time. I don't know. But inevitably, sooner or later, the payment, the promises to pay, are going to be shown to be false. People are going to admit, you can't make good on the debt. And when that does, people that are holding paper are going to lose their assets. People that are holding gold and silver are going to be in a position to survive and perhaps even prosper dramatically. You know, if circumstances turned where the debt was repudiated, if that actually happened, and private individuals and institutions lost $18 trillion or half of $18 trillion, that was $9 trillion. They only canceled half of the national debt. Right? Even so, this economy can't bear a $9 trillion loss, paper loss. What will happen to the prices of homes and cars and every land and everything else? You take $9 trillion out of the economy, prices are going to drop dramatically. And if you were sitting on some gold, more than likely the price for that gold, however, is going to rise. You're going to be in a position, if you've got savings, and particularly if the savings are in tangible media like gold, a real payment, not a promise to pay, you're going to be in a position to buy a house for what? A couple of gold coins? New car? Hard to say what the price of gold could be. I don't know. And it won't be a good time for anybody, but there'll be an opportunity. You know, we've heard stories. I don't know whether they're true or just, you know, fanciful anecdotes. Allegedly, some kid in Germany during the Weimar Republic, when they went into all of their horrendous hyperinflation, he'd been working as a bellboy at a hotel in Germany. And while he was there, one of the customers at the hotel tipped him with a 1 ounce gold coin. This is back when gold coins were or, you know, $20 an ounce. Gave the kid a $20 tip. Big money back then, no doubt. But the kid held on to the $20 gold piece, and later, at the height of inflation in the Weimar Republic, the kid allegedly bought the whole hotel for that gold coin. I don't know that the story's true. It may be, you know, just fanciful, as I said, but it's an illustration of what may be possible in what is inevitably coming. They can't cancel the debt. They can't pay the debt. What are they going to do? Sooner or later, you got to get off that tiger. And when you do, gold is going to be extraordinarily valuable and certainly helpful to your survival and maybe even helpful to making you suddenly rich. So, what else, Melody?
Well, if they'd like to have their gold coin, we have Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces for $1,400. That doesn't include your shipping costs. And this is certified by NGC or PCGS. And they're beautiful coins. And they can call us at 1-800-375-4188. It's 800-375-4188. I guess Wendy Wilson will be on the program tomorrow. She'll be back on Wednesday. We'll be missing a James Corbett this week. He needed this week off. He'll be returning next week. So it's you and me, kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can I say? So we got to go. And we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.